afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, duck season is not here yet, but the weather starting out next week is going to make you feel a little bit like thinking about duck hunting. And if you're interested at all, then the town of Somerton, South Carolina has something for you. He's not the man from Snowy River. He's the man from the South Carolina Waterfowl Association. Mr. Ed Paul joins me today. Ed, thanks for taking a few minutes and being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
October 14th. Downtown Somerton, vendors, parade, duck calls, fishing, sporting clays, cook-off. Going to be a good, good day to be outdoors.
It's going to be a great, great day. Pending the weather, we're hoping it's going to be great weather, but just a fun family event that the town of Somerton and the Chamber of Commerce and Clarendon County is putting on together, and just trying to get people back to Somerton and show how it's a great little small town that wants to reach out and have a fun family atmosphere.
The small towns know how to go have a good time just as big as the big towns, you know? They just do it in different ways. Well, tell us a little bit about it. How many years has the Duck Fest been going on now? Is it two or three?
This is the second year.
Second year, okay. All right. And there's a whole range of things for anybody that wants to get involved.
That's right. We have a fishing tournament starting out that morning at Safe Light from John C. Landing. They'll have a weigh-in at 3 o'clock, and then they'll come into town. The top five teams will come into town and take pictures on the stage at our Duck Fest event. And we'll announce the weights and the winners and all the awards, there for the fishing tournament. And also that morning, out at Featherhorn Farms will be a sporting clays shoot, and that's with Jimmy Lee, and he's putting it on there at his place in conjunction with Duck Fest.
Okay.
And then those shooters will have like an 8 o'clock flight and a 10 o'clock flight, 1 o'clock flight, and they'll come back into Somerton and announce all the winners. Throughout the day, we will have a cook-off going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a taste. You come by and you get tickets to go in, and you get so many tickets to drop in whatever tent you like the most, whatever tent had the best food.
All right.
And at 2 o'clock, we'll have a parade downtown, and also starting at 11 o'clock that day. So a lot of things are going on
right
at all different times, but it's pretty solid timeline right there in downtown Somerton. At 11 a.m., we will have a duck calling contest. And we're doing three different divisions. We're having a junior meet style, which is like your good duck callers out in the wild calling birds. Anybody who loves to duck hunt and thinks they can call pretty good, they come on in, and that's 16 years old and younger.
Okay.
And then we'll have an adult open meet, which is open to all ages. And they'll get a chance to come in. It's over $3,000 in prizes.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Go out to these three contests. And then the third one is going to be a senior open Main Street. So that is your Main Street competition style where you're doing the ring and hail calls.
Okay.
And you're following that 90-second routine.
All right.
We'll have past state winners and state champion and champions will be judging. All three contests, I'll be the MC and scorekeeper along with a couple other guys who are affiliated in our contest calling.
All right.
It'll be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of vendors there. There'll be sporting goods stores there with good prices and discounts on their merchandise. There'll be duck call and goose call makers, Win Tuck with his lanyards, TNT taxidermy. All kinds of great people that love to duck hunt and fish and all that stuff. They'll be out there for you to come in and get some deals on your latest gear and be ready for the season.
Now, you're not entering the duck call, right?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, I'm just going to help put it on.
If, for those of you that don't know, Ed is an accomplished duck caller, has won a lot of competitions, and you keep the ringers out of this thing, Ed. Keep it all nice and up. You know, you mentioned $3,000 in cash and prizes to the duck calling contest. I mean, the bass tournament's worth $5,000 for first place. So this is not your $100, which is still fun, but I mean, there's some real money involved in some of the stuff y'all have got going on over there.
There is. It's a big cash payout too on the sporting clays.
Okay.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, a chance for people to come out and compete what they're passionate about and what they love to do. And it's going to bring everybody right back into the town of Somerton and bring us in close so we can see each other and fellowship and enjoy this festival. It's a lot of fun. It's really grown since last year. So we're very excited about it and, you know, what it does for the town of Somerton.
Very cool. Hey, and just in case somebody doesn't know where Somerton is, can you give me kind of a geographic location in the state, kind of east of Columbia, south of Sumter, is that the direction?
Yes, we're an hour east of Columbia. We're right above Lake Marion, so right where 95 Bridge crosses over Lake Marion, heading north on 95, you run right into Somerton. It's kind of right in between Sumter and Manning.
Gotcha. It sounds
on
like
the north side.
Going to be a fun day. Hopefully the weather's good. Look, you got over on the SCWA side, you got Camp Loophole running this year during the school year?
Absolutely. It's wide open right now. We've got tons of kids out there on field trips, and it's going well.
Good. How does somebody get a hold of you if their school is interested in coming to Camp Loophole and learn a little bit of the outdoors? How they get a hold of you, Ed?
They can contact us here at the office at SCWA, and that's that number is 803-452-6001. And also they can see us on our website at www.wildlifeedcenter.org.
Ed, as always, it's a fun time talking to you. Hope people will turn out in large numbers for the Somerton Duck Fest. And like I said, if any of you parents, teachers, or school kids are listening, you can go down to Camp Loophole and just get a great time in the outdoors, courtesy of SCWA and Mr. Ed Paul.
Absolutely. Come on out to Duck Fest and bring your kids. SCDNR is going to be there with some simulators, going to be some jump houses, a lot of fun stuff for the kids to do as well.
Cool. And I guess pretty much everything but the food downtown is free?
You have to have tickets to come in for the food stuff, but everything else, yes, sir, is free to come and be a part of it. And the mayor of Somerton, Mac Bagnell, also a SCWA employee, he's worked really hard with our team of Duck Fest volunteers to make this thing awesome. So come on out and enjoy it, and look forward to seeing everyone.
Ed, thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Mr. Rogers, thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, there you go. That's something to do. That's, again, that's October 14th. In Somerton, South Carolina, you like fishing, you like duck calls, you like food, just like getting outdoors, it should be a great time. Continuing on with the short calendar events brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center, the Beaufort Downtown Shrimp Festival is coming October 6th and 7th, 2017, to downtown Beaufort. They're going to have entertainment, 5K race, all sorts of things down there. Let's see what it says here. It's on the waterfront park. 15 local restaurants be there featuring the best shrimp dishes, competing for awards. You can purchase tickets to eat. And, like I said, there's all sorts of stuff going on. I'm trying to think what else. Arts and crafts. They got maps for parking. You can find out more. Just Google Beaufort Downtown Shrimp Festival. Good one. And then kind of got this out of order. Well, I didn't either. Friends of Lake Robinson, October the 8th. Lake Robinson right here between north of Greer is going to have a day for family and friends of Lake Robinson. Going to have lots of farms up there. City of Greer is going to be there. Department of Natural Resources is going to be there. Sunrise Adventures, just a fun day. Food is going to be there. Just a good place to take your family. Again, that is the Friends of Lake Robinson, October the 8th, hosted by the city, the Commission of Public Works. If you got any more information, you can contact them or look on their website. Let's see what else we got. By the number spot tail tournament. This is always a fun one. October the 27th through December the 4th. This is run out of the Charleston Angler. And it's just what it says. It's winner, weekly winners for the most spots on a redfish. So, like I said, starts October 27th, runs through December 4th. Find out more information about this at the Charleston Angler website in Charleston, South Carolina. Hang on through the break. We're going to listen to a interview we did with Charles Ruth about the new deer regulations. So hang on through segments 2 and 3, Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Like I said earlier, we've got Charles Ruth on. He's been on the show before. He's a good friend of this show. A great guy to talk to. Pours a lot of himself into the work of the Department of Natural Resources. Charles, appreciate you taking time out of your day. How are you, my friend?
Good, Roger. Good to be back on your show, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Are you ready for deer season like I am?
Absolutely not. I've been out on a tractor today bush hogging, and it is too hot to think about deer hunting.
Well,
September 15th is when I get interested.
Okay. So you wait until after it starts turning over to really start thinking about it good then.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know, I was at ICAST this week, and all the professional guys you run into, they're like, I'm so ready to be done fishing. I just want to go hunting. And I think it's more about being cool, you know, and those crisp mornings and all, better than these 90-degree days they're fishing in.
There you go. Yeah, summer. I'm afraid summer finally caught up with us here the last couple of weeks.
It has, and I think it's here to stay for a while, too.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, you've done a lot of work on this. We have talked about this for years. It's in a form here. And one of the big questions, Charles, and I will start off right with this. This bill is not going to keep people from breaking the law, right?
Well, I'll tell you this, Roger, and I've gotten that a lot. But here's the scenario that I would ask people to keep in mind. On that Saturday afternoon in October, when somebody shoots a deer down and they walk up to it out in the food plot or wherever it may be, they're going to have a decision to make. They're either going to play by the rules or not. Because if they don't tag the deer and they transport it, they run the risk of another hunter seeing them and reporting them. They may run into one of our game wardens, get stopped for speeding, stopped for a taillight out. They're not going to be able to take the deer to a processor.
Okay.
And processors are not an arm of enforcement.
Right.
Problem is, for a processor, if he takes possession of an untagged deer, then he's taking possession of an illegal deer, and he's in a problem just like the hunter is. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think this thing's going to have a way of working out.
Well, I hope so.
And this is no different than what all other states do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just like the last one to ever do it.
That's correct. Yep.
In fact, since you just said that, what are some of the in of course, on the DNR website, you can find a lot of this stuff. And I really think people that still have questions either haven't taken the time to read or watch some of the videos or listen to the talk that are out there. They're going to wait until, you know, September the 15th to try to figure out what they need to do. Some of the other states around us, tell us what they're doing as far as the tower, what they have done as far as the tag system goes.
Well, Georgia has a license validation, which is basically a tagless tagging system. In other words, rather than a physical tag, and a lot of states have this, Roger.
Okay.
At the point of kill, you validate your license. You cut out the date, the sex, maybe the area. North Carolina does that as well. Both North Carolina and Georgia, have an electronic harvest reporting. North Carolina has had it for over 20 years. They were one of the first states with the quote telecheck.
Okay.
Now Georgia has it, and really most states do have it, Roger. We're kind of, again, we're going to be last in that as well, and it's certainly something that DNR would support. It would require legislation, and it would kind of be the second little lock that we were talking about a while ago as far as enforcement.
Okay. All right. This whole thing was really brought about by hunters. It's taken, 10 years, I think we've talked about it. It's probably 12 now, back to when it first started and into when it finally takes place. Why did we want the tag system?
Well, what hunters were telling us, and you're right, this process, we had the first set of public meetings in 2003. And of course, we had public meetings along and along for 10 or 12 years, but hunters wanted to see some changes in our management. I think, you know, we've got a new generation of hunters, and I think they questioned how we did business here because, frankly, as you know, we've always kind of been in left field, you know, and it's one of those situations where I think hunters finally said, there's no way that we're the only one right in how we manage deer and everybody else is wrong.
Right.
So a more modern type of approach. Maybe try to take a little pressure off the bucks, even though we're still going to be, you know, even with these changes, we're still going to be the most liberal state as far as antlered deer.
Right.
And I'll tell you something else, Roger. The process, since it took over a decade, And I think most of your deer hunter listeners out there will understand this. Our deer population changed tremendously from the time we started this process. Understand that around the year 2000 is when our deer population reached maximum.
Right.
So over that 10 or 12 year period, we've seen that population level out and decline. And, you know, we're harvesting 35% fewer deer now than we were 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And in many parts of the state, that's not a bad thing. We were carrying too many deer in some areas. So I think we're good right now. We just don't want to, you know, have a, you know, talk 5 years from now and we've gone down 15 or 20 more percent.
Right. Yeah. Nobody that actually deer hunts wants that to happen.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, back to why, you know, what hunters were telling us is that, and it's a typical story. You know, we've got a piece of property that we're managing. We've been trying to, you know, do the right thing, plant and maybe take the pressure off some of the smaller bucks. But because we got neighbors that don't do right, there's no wet enforce limits and
right,
we've got high limits and all that. It just never seems to work out, you know. So I think just that mindset and knowing what goes on in other states and so forth.
You know, we have a lot of people will say, gosh, we got 17 tags. How is that helping to manage our deer herd if now I can kill 17 deer?
Yeah. What you got to keep in mind now,
there we go.
You got to listen to this. In game zones 1 and 2, just like always, Roger, there is a limit to the number of antlerless deer you can take.
And that hasn't changed from last year.
In game zone 1, you can take 4.
Yep.
In game zone 2, you can take 5. And what I would say is, think about 10, 15 years ago when we had over 20 doe days.
Right.
You could not take 20 does.
Right.
It was still a limit. So you gotta separate opportunity from the limit.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
That hasn't changed.
Right.
That hasn't changed.
Still $5 in the upstate, which doesn't change.
Yep.
The big change there, and it's hard for us to understand, is the low country. They've never had a buck limit. So
that's correct.
Yes. This is something.
Yeah, that really affected 2/3 of the state. But, you know, I will say, and we probably, if we got time, we probably need to kind of get into some nuts and bolts about
sure,
the various tags. But, you know, the base number of buck tags is 3.
That's correct, yes.
So unless somebody wants additional opportunity, it's actually a 3-buck limit.
That's true.
So that's pretty good there.
Yeah, that's true. When I say 5, that's if you get the 3 tags with the license and buy your 2 additional, you can
that's
take
correct.
It to 5. And that's new.
That's
correct.
Go ahead.
No, that hasn't changed in the upstate. We've always had a 5-buck limit up here.
That's right. But you're going to kind of have to do a little something extra to make that 5 happen.
Right. Yes.
And it was interesting, Roger, when we were kind of down to the brass tacks with the legislature and you know, clearly some of the key legislators that we were working with there at the final, they were hunters.
Right.
And so they understood and so forth. And when we started with it, you know, talking about, well, you know, we can get everybody 3-buck tags, there was some interest among some of these legislators in, well, let's let our resident hunters maybe kill a couple more bucks, but we don't want them shooting little bucks. So let's put an antler restriction on 2 others and make them pay for it. And we were like, okay, that's fine. You know, no problem there. You know, antler restrictions are real popular.
Of course.
And so that's kind of how that played out. So again, that base limit's 3, and if somebody wants to go a little bit more, they can get 2, but then they've got the antler restriction. So it'll take some of the pressure off those year-and-a-half-old deer.
Why do you want to take pressure off those year-and-a-half-old deer?
Well, hunters, you know, a lot of this whole discussion about bucks and having limits on bucks, that's driven by hunters.
Right.
And obviously antler restrictions are real popular. It takes the pressure off the younger bucks, gives them a chance to get into the next age class and then possibly move through those older age classes where you obviously have bigger bodies and bigger antlers. And I'll tell you, there's also some biological things that can fall out from that. You know, you got better age structure. You got potentially better sex ratios or adult sex ratios. And in many cases, when you have those things, you have a better opportunity to see some of this behavior that we all see on these hunting shows with the bucks, you know, carrying on and running does and fighting each other and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen immediately,
right.
But I think those things, those potentials are there when you have a better age structure.
Speaking of better age structure and potentials, how long do you think it will be before we start to see those kind of results across the state?
Well, it's hard to say. I think 4 or 5 years, maybe 3 to 5 years. We're actually supposed to, I think in 2022, we're supposed to provide a report to the General Assembly about, you know, what has happened, what we think, and so on and so forth. So, it's hard to say. You know, $5 is still a lot. So, I would be lying to you if I said this is going to cure everything, because I think there'll be certain parts of the state where you've got folks that most everybody's going to try to use their $5, and it's probably not going to change anything.
Okay. Back when we were talking about this a year or so ago, you were talking about, and we got about a minute here, so I don't know if you want to start it and carry it over or whatever, but we were talking about by limiting the number of bucks, especially down towards game zones 3 and 4, you were hoping to take some of the does out of those agricultural hotspots and actually decrease the population a little bit in those areas.
Yeah, you know, by and large across the state, people are talking about fewer deer, but we do some of these larger agricultural counties, which are primarily in the coastal plain. In those parts of those counties where there's a lot of agriculture, there's still a lot of deer. The farmers are screaming and so forth. In fact, I talked with a farmer in Williamsburg County this week, and he was tickled about the buck limit because he understands that, the average hunter, if given a choice, he's going to shoot a buck rather than a doe. So he could see it right away that, hey, this could be a good thing for me, because they always have trouble getting their guys to shoot enough does.
That's exactly right. Well, look, we're headed into the bottom of our break. Can you hold on through the break, and we'll continue this in the next segment?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hang on, Charles Ruth. I appreciate it. Well, like I said, we're going to get some more of the details of the new regulations on the deer harvest in South Carolina. So hang on through for more Woods and Water, South Carolina. To Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are talking to Charles Ruth, big game coordinator for the Department of Natural Resources. Again, we thank you for taking part of your Saturday to be here with us, Charles. Let's get into some of the nuts and bolts of this thing. And one of the biggest things people need to understand, you will not be able to go into Walmart, Dick's, wherever, and get your deer tags this year.
That is correct. No. The only over-the-counter sales, Roger, will be at our main regional offices, which is, Clemson, Columbia, Charleston, Florence, and York. People need to think ahead. And what I tell folks is, now that we have 365-day licensing, in other words, your license used to be July 1 to June 30th, and everybody ended at the same time. Now it's good for a year from the date of purchase. Folks need to look at their hunting license. The trigger for resident hunters to get this base set of tags is big game permit.
Okay.
So you can either have a license plus a big game or one of the combination or sportsman's type licenses. But the message is, if you have a big game permit that is active at the start of deer season, you're good to go. Your tags are going to show up in the mail probably here in the next few weeks.
Okay. All right.
Okay. If your license is expired, you need to re-up it before you go deer hunting, allowing a few days for it to come in the mail. This is exactly how we're doing, how we've been doing turkey tags last few years.
Right.
You got to get either drive to one of our offices or get it ahead of time. I will say, Roger, that, folks like me and you that have an annual license, if we got an active big game during the deer season, we're good to go. The message for lifetime license holders, senior license holders, and youth hunters, okay?
Yes.
Youth hunters don't have to have a license, but
that's
just
right.
Like with turkey tags, they got to have tags. They have to, that group has to reach out to us. All right, they can do it online, or they can call our licensing division, and all they have to do is have their senior license or their lifetime license, give the person, enter their customer ID in or provide it on the phone, and they'll send them their tags. And the reason we're doing that, Roger, is there are over 200,000 of these lifetime or senior type licenses. And we felt like it was just not good business sense to shotgun and give all those people a set of tags. Understand that it's going to cost about a dollar, a little bit more than a dollar, to get a set of tags to somebody.
Okay.
And it just didn't make sense financially for us to spend what could be a quarter of $1 million. Half of those people don't even deer hunt.
Okay. Okay.
You know.
Sure. That was my next question. How many of those gratis and senior licenses actually buy or go deer hunting?
Yeah, we don't know that, but we weren't really in a position to take a chance on it. And, you know, for example, my mom, you know, my parents both got senior licenses when they were of age to do that.
Okay.
And that's been 10, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. She's never hunted.
No.
But, you know, a lot of people do that to support DNR.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I do. And I got a whole other segment coming up on that later on this month.
Yeah, so it was just a decision that we made, and it's actually written into the legislation that group must request their tags. Folks like me and you to get our license annually, if we've got an active big game permit, poof, they're just going to show up in the mail.
Okay, all right. So Taylor Metz, if you're listening to this at home, you need to go get on the computer right now, request your used set of deer tags before we go deer hunting this year.
Yeah, and if it's a parent or another adult trying to get the tags for a youth hunter, they can do it online, but they need the youth information.
Right.
Obviously, they got to have the name, address, date of birth.
That's correct.
The asset, the social security number, and we'll only ask that one time, and then they will be assigned a permanent customer ID number. It'll stick with them, kind of like a driver's license.
Sure.
Number. It'll be their DNR ID, and then they'll be in our system, and everything will work from there on.
Well, there you go, Taylor. You're in the system. Now you just need to go find your license from last year and get your new one for this year. So maybe she's scurrying right now to do that, and I won't have to do that for her. What is included with the big game permit?
Okay. The resident base set of tags includes three antlered buck tags, and those are valid for any legal antlered buck. You know, in South Carolina law, an antlered buck is a buck with 2 inches of antler above the hairline.
Okay.
So you've got three wild card buck tags. You've got 8 date specific antlerless tags, call them doe tags.
Okay.
And Roger, those basically replace the doe days. If hunters are pretty tuned in, we've had 8 doe days the last 4 or 5 years.
No, I was fixing to say.
Exactly. So as part of this effort to let hunters hunt at some level without paying any more money, that's how we came up with that. So there is no such thing as a doe day.
Right.
But resident hunters are going to have these tags, which basically, you know, on those Saturdays, just like in the past, they get to take a doe. We're giving them a free tag to put on the deer. Because, see, we wanted all deer tagged as part of these changes.
That's right.
You know, in addition to that, hunters can still get their 4 individual personal doe tags, just like they've been able to do since 1993 or 1994.
Okay.
And if you boil the water off of it, the doe part has not changed at all, other than you've got a free tag to use on what used to be a doe day.
Right.
The doe thing hasn't changed a bit.
Right.
So the base set is the 3 mini buck tags, and then the 8 date-specific, what I call doe tags.
Right.
That's the base set of tags that all of our resident hunters will have.
And that dated doe tag is only good for that Saturday. If that doe tag is October the 18th,
27th. The first one is October 7th.
Okay. So October 7th, I'm out there in the woods. I don't see a doe. I can pretty much burn that tag if I wanted to, because it's not going to be good after October the 7th.
That's right. Now, there is one little caveat there for archery hunters. And we tried to, you know, what happened when we were going through the process, again, we were dealing with some legislators that hunted.
Sure.
And they knew that in game zones 1 and 2, archers had some special opportunity to take doe deer or antlerless deer during the archery only and muzzleloader season, traditionally without having to tag the deer.
Okay.
So we scratched our heads and said, well, how can we make that work? So what we did, and when people see their tags, they will notice on these date-specific antlerless tags, over on the right side, there will be a little block that says for archery use. What archers can do, now they can only do this during the archery only or primitive weapon season.
Okay.
If they decide to, they can use any of their date-specific tags. If they shoot a doe on, you know, during the archery season, they can use any of those date-specific tags to tag that doe deer, but they have to validate the tag in a certain way, which okay. includes actually writing that date on the tag, okay?
In the blank
writing
provided.
The actual date. Exactly. Right. But then, of course, they're not going to have that tag later in the gun season.
Right.
So it's their decision, and that was the only thing that we could come up with. Unless we start just issuing archery-type tags, which, you know, we've already got enough tags, so we just decided to kind of make a dual-purpose tag like that. Here's what I'll tell you, Roger, and all your listeners.
All right.
A lot of this sounds very complex, but when you get your tags, if you read your tags, there is no way you can go wrong. Can't happen.
Nope. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the date-specific tags y'all got up on your website, and there's your archery use, and there's your fill-in-the-blanks. Are they going to be pink?
Yeah, what you're looking at online is exactly the way the tags are going to look this year. Now, okay. We'll probably change up the colors, you know, every year or two, something like that, from, you know, for an enforcement standpoint.
Sure.
And if you'll notice, the antlerless tag, you know, each tag has a little bit different color, so... You know, our enforcement folks can see it from a little distance. And hunters, you know, that was one of the main reasons that we had to go with it. We wanted to go with a physical tag rather than a license punch was because hunters wanted to be able to see what other hunters were doing.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, a physical tag from an administrative standpoint is much more cumbersome than a license punch.
Okay.
But it does provide that visual reference that everybody knows everybody else is doing right. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So you get 3 unrestricted buck tags, 8 dated doe tags. We can still buy the 4 additional doe tags. And then there are 2 antler-restricted buck tags that you can optionally buy. How much are
2 optional. They're $5 just like the doe tags.
$5 just like the doe tags.
That's correct. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but it was interesting. Like I said, there was interest in the legislature and, well, our resident hunters, maybe we should let them take more than 3 bucks, but we don't want them shooting any more little bucks. So DNR, let's have an antler restriction and we'll make them pay for these 2 other buck tags just like they do the doe tags. We were like, okay, I mean, we can... You know, we've got some antler restrictions on some WMAs, and we didn't make it big, Roger, because I think from a big picture standpoint, I know a lot of clubs have much more stringent antler restrictions, but that's kind of a focal, local type deal. When you're looking at regions of a state, or in this case, the entire state, if you can get those bucks out of a year and a half old age class, you've done a good thing. And this antler restriction will get 98 or 99% of them out of that year and a half old class.
Okay. I'm not going to worry about non-resident hunters. I'm not really not going to worry about low country. That's a totally different ball game and probably another 20 minutes or so.
Well, the low country, you know, unless they're in the low country, I mean, this is all statewide uniform. Now, you do have the quota program.
We're going to
talk about that. It's not very well participated in Piedmont. We've probably got maybe 100, 150 properties, maybe a couple, probably 300,000 or 400,000 acres in the upstate, but that pales in comparison to the coastal plain where we've got millions of acres in that program.
Yeah. How is the, I mean, have y'all started getting into breaking up the, whether the clubs want all the antlerless tags or they want a mix of buck and doe tags? Have you started getting into any of that yet?
Oh yeah. We're well along in that program. In fact, we'll be packing those tags. We now, with the option for those clubs to get a buck quota, since some of those seasons start so early, we're going to have to get those tags to them here in about 10 days or 2 weeks.
And
looking at the applications coming in, it looks like maybe around 30% have decided that they do want a buck quota.
Wow.
And, you know, we came up with a defensible way of setting those buck quotas. You know, all those folks, they have to report their harvest to us at the end of the season, including, you know, it used to be a doe quota program.
Right.
But they had to report their entire harvest. So we went in at the county level and looked at the number of acres per buck harvested among all of the folks in that program in a given county. And that was kind of the jumping off point for issuing these buck tags.
Okay. I process, this is right off y'all's frequently asked questions page, and it's something that I hear a lot. I process my own deer at home. When can I take the tag off the deer? Because let's all be reminded, you have to tag this where you find it.
Yeah,
in the field.
The tagging requirement is at the point of kill before it's transported. If you take the deer home and you hang it, you know, some people got a little refrigerator
sure.
made into a cook. If you're hanging the carcass with the head on or off, skin on or off, if you still got the entire carcass, that tag needs to remain in the deer.
Okay.
When you start breaking it down, that's when the tagging requirement goes.
Okay.
Goes away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got somebody that hunts, they get their big game permit, they get their 8 tags, $3. Anytime during the season, can they go back and get additional tags?
Yes, yes, they can kind of a la carte, the other 2 buck tags and then, you know, their personal doe tag. Just like in the past, they've been able to kind of a la carte the individual doe tags.
Okay. Wildlife management areas. Is this, yeah. Are private lands and wildlife management areas the same as far as all these requirements go?
Yes. But your dyed in the wool WMA hunters will know what I'm fixing to say. That for the last 4 or 5 years, we have had a limit statewide on all WMAs combined of 5 deer.
Okay.
No more than 2 bucks. And that's not a change. And so that will still be in place. But yeah, I mean, these tags are, the individual, the optional doe tags, and this is not a change, Roger, the optional doe tags, you can only use 2 of them on WMAs statewide.
Okay.
You can only use 1 of them in game zone 1,
that's
on
right.
private or WMA, but none of that is a change.
Okay.
Again, if people will look at these tags, they'll see. This is the one that's good statewide, including game zone 1, including WMAs. And then the others aren't good in game zone. You know, it just kind of, they kind of fall off, as far as the regs on WMAs. But it's very evident on these tags what's going on.
Okay. Well, those are my questions. Anything else out there that we haven't covered, you want people to understand or need to know a little more detail about?
Oh boy. again, everybody check their license. Make sure you've got an active big game permit. Going into the deer season or allow, you know, 6 or 7 days before you want a deer hunt so these tags can come to you in the mail. If you are a youth hunter, a lifetime license holder, or a senior or disability license holder, you need to get online and order. You're entitled to these tags. You've got to get online and request them or give our licensing section a call, and they'll punch the button, so to speak, and kick out those tags to them.
When will the regulations booklets come out? Do you know?
It should be posted on the website probably inside of 10 days, and we expect the hard copies about the 1st of August.
Okay. And all this is probably going to be pretty laid out in the regulations book and online too, right?
Yeah. And I would definitely encourage folks to get online because we've got a lot, you know, the frequently asked questions are good. We've got a YouTube video. We've got a regular video that's right there on our website if people don't do YouTube. We've got, as you referred to, we've got examples of the tags where people can look at them and see what they look like. Definitely look at the website, no doubt about it.
Well, Charles, I appreciate all the hard work you do. There are a lot of us hunters that appreciate you hauling the load for us through the legislature on this stuff. And, man, if there's everything we can do for you, just let me know, okay?
Well, I'm excited. It's been a long haul, but, you know, we need to make some changes, Roger. And, you know, a lot of encouragement by hunters. And I can tell you this, if it weren't for hunters, this would have never happened. Because, I mean, you know, we have a decent, you know, good relationship with the legislature, but something big like this, they got to hear from their constituents. And so there is no way that this would have happened if there weren't enough support for it and if there weren't enough people talking locally about it. So that's what I'd say on that.
Well, Charles, thanks for your time on Saturday. I'll catch up with you later on, and we'll both hope this works out great.
All right, Roger. Good talk with you.
Good talk to you too, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
There you go. A lot of information. A lot of it's up to you. Hang on through the break. More Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, yes, the deer regulations changed a little bit. If you have a question about them, don't go on Facebook and say, hey, I got this question, because on Facebook, everybody's an expert, but really nobody has a clue what's going on. If you got a question, go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage. Take a look at the new regulations. There's a link for frequently asked questions. If you can't find your answer anywhere there, there's a contact number and email address. You can send them your question and get the right answer, because the last thing you want to do is wind up on the wrong side of the game laws for something that is as simple as going to a webpage. So anyway, I appreciate Charles and all the work he does there. You know, last Saturday, the 23rd, was National Hunting and Fishing Day. We covered just a little bit of that. But if you want to get started fishing, especially here in South Carolina, and you can do some of this through Take Me Fishing, which is takemefishing.org. It's a branch of the American Sport Fishing Association. Right here in South Carolina, starting in the springtime, you'll have fishing rodeos, which are free. Kids get to fish. Parents get to be there with them. A lot of these events have tackle that you're given. There's an announcement that we're going to come up with here shortly about something we're doing next May with fishing rodeo. So you can get a hold of the Department of Natural Resources. They've got the fishing rodeos. If you want to learn how to fish and you're in a community and you've got, you know, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 friends who want to, you know, they, families who've never been exposed to it, the Department of Natural Resources also has free family fishing clinics. If you get a group together, they'll send a teacher out with all the materials and you know, rods and reels for you to actually put your hands on, figure out how to thread a line through a rod, attach a reel to a rod seat, tie a knot, hook, line, bobber, whatever. Do that. You know, we often say the time on the water in the field is never wasted, and I'm a firm believer in that. That time is, it's immeasurable, especially when you're with a friend, family, kids, whatever. Over a dozen studies have shown that being with family and friends, relaxing, and being outdoors and close to nature are the primary reasons people spend time on the water. A family doesn't have to spend a fortune on a theme park vacation to have experience that everybody would enjoy. Although your first meeting with Mickey Mouse will probably be memorable, chances are it'll pale in comparison to memories of spending time on the water with the people you love. No cars, no rush hour, no deadlines on the water, unless you're fishing a bass tournament. So anyway, that's one of the ways you can get involved in fishing right here in South Carolina. Now, to get started shooting, you can go to the NRA website. They have an online state-by-state locator to help you find a local firearm safety course. There's a list on the Department of Natural Resources webpage of every shooting range in the state, whether it's private, Forest Service rifle range, Department of Natural Resources range. You know, you have places like sharpshooters that have ranges, Palmetto State Armory. You can get involved in shooting. It's not that hard. A lot of these places have rentals, so you can go in and say, I'd like to shoot one of those, I'd like to shoot that. You don't have to just go out blindly, buy stuff, and figure out that you got the wrong gun because it kicks too much. You know, with a little work, you can get it done. You know, like I said, there again, local stores, Department of Natural Resources has a lot of information on how to get involved in shooting. If you want to get involved in hunting, if you have a child, there's the Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One program, where right now they're taking kids on the weekends to deer hunts. They had dove hunts back in September. And you can get involved in that program. It's free.
for the kids. Clemson University, in association with National Wild Turkey Federation, is doing some mentored hunts for college-age kids at Clemson. There's an opportunity if you know someone at Clemson that's interested in getting involved in hunting. You know, it's not too late at the college age. It's not too late at the adult age. Remember, you have to have a hunter safety course to get a license if you're born after a certain date in 1979. So it's never too late to get involved as an adult. There are plenty of organizations, Quality Deer Management Association, National Wild Turkey Federation, that will help you get involved. And a lot of people I hear, they ask me questions. Well, you know, I go in the stores and I see the magazines and I want to do some of this stuff, but I don't know how to get from where I am right here to the cover of that magazine. There's a lot of distance, a lot of time, a lot of learning, and sometimes a lot of money between the two. But there are ways. If you need help getting involved in anything in the outdoors, whether it's hiking, hunting, fishing, shooting, whatever, don't hesitate to contact me here at the show. You can go to my Facebook page, Woods and Water South Carolina. Send me a message. You can send me an email, roger@woodsandwatersc.com. And I'll be glad to help you and get involved. However, you know, National Archery and School Programs, the archery program, there are some of those that are not in the schools too. They're outside of the school system that you get involved in. Just a lot of things. So don't pass up an opportunity to get involved in the outdoors. It is, I don't know that I've talked to anybody who said it's been a wasted time in their life. Hope you've enjoyed the show today. I've enjoyed being here. Actually, I'm in Florence today with a bunch of writers talking about the outdoors. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. See you next week back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.